Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Joe Soro coming back again for the Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We would truly appreciate everyone listening out there who listen to our great shows. If you can give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. Plus, if you can like, subscribe, and follow us here at the Lakers Fast Break on YouTube, Facebook, wherever you're watching, we would greatly appreciate the support. Shout out to my friends at LakersBall.com. It was another hilarious game time thread tonight. I think when we were up 40, we were just basically talking about nothing. I don't even think we were watching the game at that point. But yes, Lakers Ball, props to Lakers Ball with the continued entertainment. Sean is here with us. Doesn't look like he's in traffic, but he's still the same madman he is when he's not. Or is or what? And I'm gonna say that Laker Tom will. Oh, there he is. Laker Tom has arrived. The number one blogger on Twitter. If you want to listen, or I should say, read the next maybe prediction, maybe prognostication. Just go to Twitter at Laker Tom, and you'll get all those juicy verbiages that you see so much on Twitter every day of your lives. So I'm going to say until the end, boy, was this a nice, relaxing game. But even the end was just like, I think you can tell they were sort of trying to get through the game. Like they hit four and they're like, all right, dude, we played hard all the way through. You know, we're going to take a little bit of a break. Then all of a sudden, they made up like 21 points in 7 minutes. But this is the NBA. This is what we talked about on Playback. This is today's NBA. And we just have to understand that there's no more cutting out the fourth quarter for especially the big stars anymore. I mean, I was at this point when we hit 40, I was like, hey, are we going to finally get a quarter where AD is going to be able to sit? Not even close. But the Lakers do come up on top, 123-108, and they led from start to finish. I believe they started the game on a 14-0 run and pretty much really never really looked back. AD had a fantastic game after he took blame for Sunday's loss against the Knicks, had 35 points, 17 rebounds, and was 12 of 13 from the line. Beautiful, beautiful game from AD. It looked like he wasn't even trying, but he was trying. He only played 33 minutes, so that's actually a really good thing there. Beasley went off, kind of tempered down a little bit in the second half, but hit 7 threes, I believe, in the first half. The only two other players that have done that in Laker history are Glenn Rice and Kobe Bryant. So props to Beasley for coming out of that funk. D'Angelo Russell, what can you say about D'Angelo? He was a plus 26 tonight, scored 17. Made threes. He made, I believe, three straight threes, and then he kind of cooled off. But it was a lot of times in this particular setup, when you hit the threes is what makes the difference. And D'Angelo got that ball rolling, and just Lakers really, again, never looked back. So, Sean, we were on Playback. We were enjoying the game. I kind of came in a little late because I actually do like watching on my big screen TV, you know, mostly just like Tom does, I'm sure.
Gave it enough time.
Sure. But, you know, with that, I'm very satisfied. Let's just put it that way. What was your take during this four quarter game, and what do you see coming up tomorrow for the back-to-back against the Houston Rockets?
Well, you know, I can't do a very good German accent, Joe, but I like Christopher Waltz from Inglourious Basterds. You know, Joe, this is your home. You should enjoy it as you see it.
That's a good one. I'm going to bring a glass of milk next time.
But it's your home. It's Tom's home. You should enjoy watching the game the way you want to watch it. You know, I enjoy your company, and I wish you guys would be on it. But hell, if you want to watch the game on a big screen, who the hell would blame you? We got shooters. We know that. We got shooters. 15 bombs in the first half tells me this was more of an outlier than necessary.
Oh, really? I want to count on this every time.
Blueprint, right? We're getting rain, really? Just rain down threes. Like, no, it's
easily 7 out of 10 every half.
But I think Malik Beasley took all. They said he took all, but I think 3 dribbles that entire half for 21 points. That's ungodly. Yeah. Ungodly. When you think of a player's efficiency versus him not having to put the ball on the floor.
His teammates.
They were looking for him.
Was rooting for him and feeding him the ball for open shots.
Yes. Beautiful to see. Yes. And you know what? I understand a lot of people have mixed feelings about Malik because he's a streaky shooter. But this is one of the reasons why he's so important on a basketball team. Yeah. It's because he understands his role, and he understands the only way to get out of a slump is to shoot your way out of it. It's like you dig your own hole, you got to dig your way out of it. It's the same thing with shooting. You shoot yourself into a cold streak, you can shoot yourself into a hot streak because there's no such thing. We know such thing. There's no such thing as hot streaks or cold streaks. There's the mean averages. And certain guys in small samples are just hot or cold per se. But for the most part, a guy is who he is. And Malik's a streaky shooter. And we got the best part of him tonight in the first half, Joe.
And this is a league of shot making. And Beasley had been struggling for a couple of weeks now. But there was always that feeling that he was going to bust out at some point. And he couldn't have done it at a better time. And when I first heard that D'Angelo Russell was traded to come to LA, I remember there was this little thing in my head going, wow, that might be the perfect player for this team. Now, I was imagining that without LeBron, Tom, I mean, you tell me, what do you think is going to happen now when LeBron, and some say that the ball handling thing might kind of muddy that water a little bit, but I don't think that's the case because D'Angelo's game can adapt to either one. I mean, he could be a scoring guy. I believe that's what he was drafted as. So what do you think, Tom? How does this play out the rest of the year?
What's really fascinating about this whole thing is that D'Angelo is still the same player he was when he left. He's a lot more mature now. He's gained some experience. His shot selection is a lot better. Like Reeves says in his slight to Russ, is that D'Angelo doesn't do any crazy stuff. You know, there's no wild plays. There's no, you know, just out of the world type of situations. I mean, that steal he got near the end of the game saved us from a possible tear breaker, you know, where we were risking putting ourselves at risk after having a 40-point lead. But it's interesting because he opens up so many different things for the Lakers that you don't have with Russ, and we wouldn't have with Kyrie. And to start with, one of the big things is he's not going to be as expensive. You know, I think we can sign him for 4 years at $30 million, and I think he'll be worth it. That leaves Kyrie wants $47 million, and you got to get a sign and trade, which limits what you can spend, which Genie might like. But I really think that D'Angelo Russell is the point guard of the future for the Lakers.
That's interesting saying it the second time around, right? We thought when we first drafted him, I remember
that's why we drafted him, right?
There was this Magic Towns Center. Or Okafor, right? Towns or Okafor. Now at the time, I was thinking, well, if Towns is likely going to be the first pick, but Okafor is a winner. He just wanted Duke and all this stuff. But then all of a sudden, he starts seeing rumors that the least percentage in terms of a bust was D'Angelo Russell, and I think that's kind of sort of coming true here. And should the Lakers sign him this summer and the Lakers go on a championship run the next year or two and happen to win one, that actually might end up being the truth. But I think D'Angelo's maturity has definitely played a huge part in his just amazing ability this year as a Laker in the short amount of time he's been a Laker. The fascinating part about it is he's just hitting his prime.
Yeah. 28 is when they say 28 to 32 is sort of like the understood for the non-LeBron James all superstar.
Sure. And he's not, yeah, he doesn't have to use worldly athleticism to be effective. So if you're talking about someone who could be here for a good 5 to 7 years and be very productive, I think that's probably what the Lakers are going to look at in terms of, you know, in terms of why they would sign him. Absolutely a must stay. And 30 for 4 years, heck, 30 for 5 years, I'd be okay with that. I don't know who else in the open market would offer him more. That would be, you know, we'll have to wait this summer to see that. But we were talking, Sean and I were talking.
I think D'Angelo wants to stay.
I think he does. His body language says it. His interviews say it. It doesn't look like he's really overdoing it. It looks like he still
is the ice in the veins, bright lights guy. You know, he makes the game fun. You know, it's kind of funny. You hear the Russ comment about how Russ said.
Sorry to interrupt, Tom, but just thought I'd give an update. Darvin Ham said Anthony Davis will not be playing tomorrow night against the Houston Rockets.
We all figured that. hey, you know, what can you say? I don't think it's a big deal because I still see the Lakers within a week probably of even without LeBron, within a week that they'll solidify at least a position in the 7 or 8 spot. And I think it's an interesting thought as to whether or not the Lakers might want to be 7th rather than 6th or 5th. Because who's the number 2 team right now? It's the Sacramento Kings. If we get the number 7 spot, we have 2 shots. All we have to do is win 1 or 2 games in a play-in, and we got the Kings in a 7-game series.
Yeah, the Kings, even though they've been kind of whacking us around a little bit, they when it comes to playoffs, when it's playoff time and when you have LeBron and AD and a bunch of motivated role players, that could spell doom for them. I think that would be great theater for a first round matchup.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, I mean, would you rather play the Mavs or the Warriors? You know, the Warriors the other day, the Warriors did what we did in the first half. And they came out and they just blew the team away, man. I mean, I think Klay scored like 36 points and 6 dribbles, some crazy number like that, you know. It's like, and it's just amazing. So, you know, I don't know if I'd want to, I don't see there's a part of me that looks at the schedule and you look at that and you see that if the Clippers can hang on and the Mavericks can hang on, they're the two teams that you'd think would be the 5th and 6th teams if they were healthy. So I don't know where we're going to finish, but I almost have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to, I mean, there's still some tanking going to be going on near the end of this. Although it's kind of funny the way they've split up the, you know, 4 teams with 15% chances of getting Wembanyama. The 4 teams are pretty well determined right now. So those teams may even be trying to win. Just, you know, it's amazing how the parity has permeated all the way down to the point where you have four teams that get an even shot at Wembanyama, and they're satisfied with that even shot because there's no incentive to be the worst record, just one of the first worst four records.
It's too soon for my brain to focus on that yet. Because this is just crazy. I mean, the parity from 5 to 13 is still mind-boggling to me. Right. Sean, I mean, come on, have we ever seen this? I've never seen it. I've never seen it in the 30+
play-in tournament has really dramatically changed the landscape.
It really has. It really has. And then the West just happens to be that.
That and evening out the four worst teams odds of getting the
number. Yeah, this is a first in the West. Usually it's whoever wins 49 games is usually the ninth seed. Now it's gonna probably come down to who can withstand 38 losses or 39 losses and get in.
A lot of projections of 40-42 for the Lakers. That's ESPN.
It's been a weird, quirky year, and the officiating has been terrible. And I hate to say that because I love this game.
We lost four games because of it.
Yeah, yes. Across
the league. We'd probably be the fifth seed right now if we hadn't lost those four games.
There's been a lot of injuries throughout the league. And
into baseball.
Yeah, it was for the first 50 games, it's been really herky jerky. That's kind of the only base description I can make for the season. It's been this weird push and pull of a combination of a lot of parity, but it's hard to know whether that parity is actually artificial or organic. It really I can't tell, Joe. I can't tell this year.
So we've lost four games because of officiating from our memory. That for sure, right? We lost two games because of free throws.
38-31 would be number four seed.
We lost two games because of our own free throw ability. We're talking a six-game swing. If they win those six games, you're talking about a team that's sitting close to three. Yeah. So we
right now we are in 10th place.
But Bill Parcells, I have the
34, 35.
Yeah. You are what you are. We are what we are. It is what it is. Yeah. Right. But it's that close right now in the NBA. So what I believe the Lakers are hedging right now is that LeBron was doing some workouts today. So we know that his foot is improving.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The hope right now, as you know, if I'm going to sound like Gerald Glassford and his hope crap, is LeBron comes back with a full arsenal, as much as a 38-year-old can have. You have a healthy AD going into the playoffs, and then you have a bunch of motivated role players that are trying to get their next big contract and have already been playing very well together. Boy, because we've already seen an unprecedented setup in the standings in the West, I can honestly say, without trying to, put hope in this, we don't know what's going to happen in the West. And in the East, it is very top heavy. We are pretty sure that it's going to be Milwaukee, Boston, or Philly that comes out of the East. The other five, the seven, not likely going to make an effect, at least into the finals. So this is going to be, as much as we've been disappointed in some things with the NBA, this might be what the NBA has wanted to do. They've been waiting for a somewhat of a parody-like league, kind of like the NFL, so that we can have more excitement with all these teams and all these cities and all their
more
fan
teams
bases.
Involved. More teams
yes,
involved.
More teams involved. More right. Involved.
Yeah, because remember the NFL has one huge TV contract. Well, the NBA has one as well with all the networks. They also have a lot of regional partners that are very important and integral to the health of these small market teams.
So the Lakers, would it still be okay to say dominated this game and won? Sure.
I would say so. I would say this: the score makes the game look closer than it appears.
I agree. I was a little irritated, but I don't know if I was really irritated with the Lakers. It's, you know, this was about...
It's the game. It's the pace of the game when you're down by 40. It's just go for the gusto. Just they
nobody
the
wins Orleans, like 50 or 60 anymore.
Yeah. But I wasn't expecting 40. I put my head down for a second.
No. They I'm probably like 40. We're ahead by 40. Come on, slack off, guys.
No, I was surprised they hit 40. When they hit 30, I was like, all right, guys, thanks for playing through.
Like youth league. Come on, let's be sports.
Thank you for playing through that 20-point lead one. They went to 30.
Fans would like to root for their team.
And I said, cool, 30 will work. And all of a sudden they went to 40, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Then it was 30, then it was 20.
And then it went down to 16 in like 7 minutes. But anyways, the Lakers win 123-108. Anthony Davis comes back with a fury, and as Sean reported just a few moments ago, Davis will not be playing on the back half of the back-to-back against Houston tomorrow. I don't know what to feel about that, but I sort of get it. Now, the question is,
Kevin might not play, which would be big for us.
My worry is the Houston Rockets just beat the Celtics. I hope that the Lakers don't ruin this win by losing tomorrow night. That would be a gut punch.
What do you think this is? I mean, this is an interesting position for the team to take right at this point in time when they're fighting for their playoff hopes, to say that we are going to prioritize player health and we're not going to have one of our two superstars who we know are injury prone and fragile. We're not going to risk them in back-to-back situations.
Well, we're not in a position to relinquish wins. That's the issue with that philosophy.
Or does it say something about a sense of confidence?
Well, here's the thing.
Or an acceptance that maybe we'd be better. Let me.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe we would be better off. Maybe we'd be better off, Sean, if we were in the seventh or eighth spot in the play-in tournament rather than being the fifth or sixth seed. Because the fifth or sixth seed aren't going to play against, they're going to play against the Grizzlies, who could be a tough out, or the Mavericks, who could have Luka back by then. You want to play another team like New Orleans and have two shots at New Orleans and another team? And
you're Houston. You're not trying to win. You're trying to draft Victor, Wem, Ben. Yeah. Yama,
right,
you're trying to win.
They're already going to get, they're going to get their 14%. They got a 14% shot at him.
And not only that, Alperen Şengün might not play tomorrow.
Right. That would be big if AD's not there.
He had a groin injury. He may not play. If the Lakers aren't playing AD, I would suspect.
Wenyen Gabriel versus Sengun would not be an easy.
It's not. Yeah. No, it's not. But again, like I know a lot of fans just want to focus in on the moment here. But look at the forest for the trees. Houston's not trying to win, and they're not going to risk. And all due respect, Gerald, since you're not on here, I think Şengün is a starter. I think he is a starter. I don't think he's a
Gerald says he's not a starter?
Yes, Gerald said he's not a starter.
Gerald.
Yeah. So
the guy's one of the best center prospects in the league.
Yeah. That's Gerald. Gerald Glassford said that, ladies and gentlemen.
He's a guy who's going to be starting when a lot of these draft picks that they haven't even used yet are still coming up.
Yeah, and Jabari Smith has played well for them over the past 10 games. So they may decide. NBA, man.
Any team can get hot like we did in the first half, and it's lights out for the game. Yeah, you know?
That's it. Doesn't matter who's playing and who's sitting.
Twice. We've seen that in the last two losses basically happened because of that.
Yes.
We were still able to fight to be close in one of those games, but, you know, it's pretty brutal. So here's the question, though, that I'm curious to see what you guys think. Of the teams that we're going to have to pass up, let's say that the Lakers are good enough and that they're playing against teams that are enough tanking teams in there that don't want to win, that they have a little bit of wiggle room to decide their own fate. Is there, and the two questions I have are, one, is there a team that you want to avoid and play last? Or maybe you want to play that team first because of injuries.
I would love.
Who do you think we match up best?
Ideally, the first thing that comes to my head is I want to get the sixth seed and play Sacramento as the third seed.
They're the second seed now.
There's a lot of factors in this.
They're the second seed.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies are not.
Well, actually, Memphis jumped them. They're ahead of them. Yeah. But if you play Sacramento from an A to Z standpoint, you're talking about
the Grizzlies with Ja.
I don't quote me on this, but I have a feeling this Jaw thing might not get fixed this year.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. But
yeah, so I'm not even.
But if the Lakers happen to be slotted to be bracketed with them, whatever happens, when any player is not going to play, and then the Lakers are on the schedule, they play.
Okay, so, Z, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. This is
Jaw's problem.
This is not just about the Laker having the right opponent. To me, if the Lakers beat the Kings in the first round, first of all, that first round matchup is a central casting. You're talking about a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2006, and they're going to play the team they hate more than any team in the league, a team that beat them 3 years in a row during the three-peat, humiliated them in two of those three series, and then, of course, that one series where they won in seven against them.
And they'll be underdogs on top right. of it, even though there's a number
right.
Two seed.
And again, the to me, it's in terms of a marketing standpoint, it really becomes interesting. Now, yeah. If the Lakers lose that series, then they're never meant to be in there anyways. But if they beat Sacramento in that first round, to me, that sets the stage for the second and third round. It really does. So Joe, that's what I'm feeling on that.
So Joe, do you remember in the mid 90s? How they had the 3D paintings, and you sure staring into the center of the picture, and you're supposed to see like a spaceship, or you.
I remember those absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of what the Sacramento Kings offense is right now. You're looking at it. Well, it looks really good. It's very high functioning, very effective. But look inward. Keep looking inward. Their offense will undo them in the playoffs. The style of offense they play. Not their offense, but the style that they play. They've got really good players, and they could play a style that could win in the playoffs. But they don't play that style right now. And it's not going to change overnight. So to me, the Kings really remind me of those 3D paintings where you look inward and you see that spaceship.
So are we voting 3-3, 3 votes for the Kings as a who do you like to play first?
Z doesn't like that idea. Z thinks that the Kings are a very formidable opponent. But like Kenneth said,
you never win the first year you go to
Kenneth said, they are 23rd on defense. And no matter what parity has been bequeathed to the NBA this last year and change, you still win with stars in the playoffs. That has never changed, and I don't think ever will. Okay. So if you're going to tell me that Fox and the Sacramento contingency is going to have a better chance at beating a capable LeBron and a capable AD with role players, in my opinion, in terms of talent and what they've shown, just a little sample size here, the best probably role player for these two players, the best role players. Sorry, KCP and Kuzma. I know you guys want a championship, but I'm talking from a talent standpoint. You're going to have to convince me how the Kings are going to come away with that. They'd have to run them out of the gym to the point where they're shooting 50% from the three, 50% from the field, and playing at least mid-tier defense to beat the Lakers in the first round if those guys are healthy. And I mean LeBron and AD. Well,
and one of the things the Kings have been is, number one, healthy, and continuity. Pretty good continuity. You know, they've made a couple of changes, but they haven't really – thrashed out the way the entire roster, the way the Lakers have the last couple of years. So, but man, that first time you're in the playoffs for all of those guys, you know, it's going to be such a different game than the regular season that they have been through. So who next falls on the list? If we can't play the Kings.
Okay. So the Kings,
let's switch it around. Who would you not want to play in the first round?
We're not going to see the Suns. I don't think the Suns are going to make up 3.5 games against the third seed at this point.
No.
It's going to be likely. The best case scenario is the Lakers end up with a sixth. But if you put a gun to my head and said you have to predict exactly where the Lakers will be, I sense that they'll be a seventh seed when it's all said and done, which means they'll probably likely play either the Kings or the Grizzlies as a 2-7.
I think to be the seventh seed, you need to finish seventh or eighth. And then you play each other. And whoever wins the seventh and whoever's the eighth team plays the winner of the ninth and tenth thing for the number eight seed. So we want to be that home team for that game. We want to be the number seven seed. And I think that we probably have enough manipulation if we're willing to lose games on purpose to position ourselves. Because the other nice thing about that seed, too, is we don't have to play Denver until the finals, until the Western Conference Finals. Because the 1-8-4-5 is the other side of the bracket from the 3-6-4-5 side. But we would have to play the 4-5 side. So we'd have to play the winner of whoever's in that situation. But I tend to think that... See, I think we can still win the sixth seed. The question is, if we had a chance to win the sixth seed or stay at the seventh seed and we could control it, and the difference was playing the Grizzlies or the Kings.
Absolutely. Hey, Joe. Hey, Gerald.
What's going on, everyone?
That's great, Gerald and Portrait. Just my favorite visual.
Well, introduce your guest properly.
So, folks, the host with the mostest, the producer with the I'm not going to say that word, has arrived from Anaheim, or if you're from New York, Anaheim, and will present. Tell us the trip. G, I know I was kind of hinting at that maybe I might come see you there since you're not too far from where I'm at.
Yeah, let's see if we Thursday or Friday, see if we can do something.
Let's get to the real news here. Did you take a picture where in that Splash Mountain thing where you with a weird face? Like, did you do any of those things?
I did, but it was covered up. I was actually in a hoodie because it was starting to, get rain and whatnot, but I will say, though, the best story I have is with you guys because it was the first night. It was at Disneyland. They're about ready to do the water show at night, and you guys had an issue getting on the air. And I'm sitting here in front of an entire crowd getting set up for the water show, and I'm screaming out loud so everybody can hear me in the entire place, Lakers and Knicks recap. Type that out. Lakers and in the detail, in the exception. So I'm trying to get Joe started on that, but I'm shouting. I had like the death look from my family, and I had the death look from like 50 other people as it's going on. So yeah, absolutely. But glad you guys got been doing a great job. Otherwise,
Thanks for telling everyone what happened, and they didn't know. And that's funny because they didn't know that until you just told them. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
We're trying to keep it behind the curtain, but
so you're in Southern California.
Pardon?
You're in SoCal.
I am. Yes, I'm in SoCal for the week. Yes. So, yes, I am invading Joe's territory. So hopefully I get a chance to see him when I'm here. I know he said he's running away to Arizona to remember the fact that I'm actually here in the state. He enjoys that so much. He's leaving the state by the end of the week.
There's not enough state for us, even as big as California is.
No, absolutely.
Now, are we going to win tomorrow night? Are we going to hit 500? What do you
guys?
Yeah, I do want to say one thing though, guys, because you guys vote on
what is the team that we want to face, because three of us already decided what team it is. But
well, I just want to get into the playoffs. Let's get into the playoffs first and foremost. I mean, there's
just
still,
answer the damn question.
I don't know.
We're going to be in the playoffs. What do you mean if we're going to be in the playoffs?
Well, every time we start talking,
we're going to be in the playoffs. Happens. Come on.
If something bad happened.
What position? What seed do you want to be?
Every time Tom starts talking about sixth or fifth seed, you know, we start going. Something bad happens to the Lakers. So
yeah,
I don't.
That's because we had Russell Westbrook on the team. We don't have him anymore. We're
no,
good.
This was like a week ago when we lost.
No. Yeah. Even the losses. Well, we're 9-4 the last freaking 13
games.
We're ahead
by 39 points, man.
Come on. 40 points. Kill us over here.
So I think we can duplicate that. I think we can go 9-4 the next 13.
Again,
we're gonna have to.
Okay, the best matchup for us is going to be Sacramento. I think
the best matchup is going to likely be 2 or 3 versus 6 or 7. That's where we're
I think
be.
The best. I think that's the best matchup is for us.
Wherever we can meet Sacramento in the first round is where I think we go.
I think so. I agree with Tom on that. But I do want to say one thing. You guys have mentioned.
I also like the play-in game at home. I think that's really important.
You guys, we're going to win the championship this year.
You guys had Kenneth. First of all, apologies to you, man. I didn't get your email. Please check your email. I sent you more information. You're welcome to come on anytime, my friend. Just hit me up. I sent you an email. Please go. It was my bad on this past weekend. I know you wanted to come on for the next game post. So that's my bad on that. So just make sure you check your email. I got some more information on for you on that. So make sure we can get you on. And remember to get you on next time you want to come on.
Okay,
so you're
thanks
welcome
for the
anytime.
Pleasantries. Thank you for the sorry. For the
you know
time.
I'm going to be
can
nice.
Can you answer the damn question?
All right. Well, I'm just going to say this. You guys have talked about on your previous post game about who should start, who should not start. You know, Beasley, you know, people are upset. Okay, bench Beasley. Beasley, the reason why Beasley was available to us was because of the fact that he is not consistent, but when he can hit, you saw what happens tonight with a great game he had, especially in that first half. He does this for you, but one thing he does, though, even when he's not shooting well, he still stretches out the team.
He still has gravity. He still has gravity because he takes too many damn threes.
The defense respects him. They don't respect Austin Reeves yet like they do respect Beasley. So I would keep Beasley.
That's why.
Yeah, Beasley needs to stay in the starting lineup, is my opinion.
100%, Gerald.
Yeah.
He's just the new
– it's the three-point gravity from a volume three-point shooter. Because if you shoot
But Tom, everybody's just going to have to deal with the fact he is a streaky shooter. He is not consistent.
His defense is not bad at all.
He's the new Kentavious Caldwell Pope with a little bit better shot. And I'll take it.
He's got good size.
You're just going to have to deal with it. Everybody gets very impatient with him, Tom. You know, I see in the chat all the time, oh, get rid of Beasley.
I don't care about that.
Get rid of Beasley. How the hell are you going to get rid of Beasley?
Because in the other games, he had a guy on him. That means the other four players get to play 4-on-4. I mean, it's so doggone simple.
He's always going to have value, guys. He's always going to have value because he's a threat.
And I know Fried Chicken's in the chat, you know, hyping up Walker. Walker is just, you know,
Walker is dead last in year-to-date defensive rating. Dead last.
He's just so small for a shooting guard. He's small for shooting. He gets easily outplayed and easily outmuscled. We should have traded him for another asset, like Tom was saying. It's something that, again, the Lakers are going to lose him for nothing and not get anything back in return.
Who else would you have gotten? There's not enough time, guys. There's not enough minutes for everybody.
Obviously, maybe another forward or backup big.
Another Laker problem.
The guy that we should get, even though you're going to laugh at it, the guy we should get is Nerlens Noel, whose contract is up now. Wait a minute. His contract is up with the Nets. Because he's exactly what we need as a shot blocker. We need a rim protector. Joe, why are you saying that?
I don't like Nerlens Noel's game. I don't like his demeanor. I don't like his motor. I don't like anything about that guy.
He's an elite shot blocker.
I don't know. He's not. He is
terrible. He averages 3.5.
I don't want Nerlens Noel anywhere near the crypto arena.
Say we're playing Senjin tomorrow night. Gabriel guard him?
I'd rather go with Gerald's favorite player of all time.
Boogie. Wenyan
Gabriel.
Oh, God.
He shares the same initial on his last name. Tomorrow night, an awful lot.
No. You are going to see a lot of Gabriel
because tomorrow. Our number one and two centers are Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
The second quarter of tonight's game, when Anthony Davis had sat down the first five minutes of the second, the Lakers went on that huge run. The Lakers are very capable of scoring without AD. AD obviously is important to the defensive side of things. Now, where we were fortunate is that the Pelicans decided to shoot like complete dog doo-doo in the first half. If they were shooting like they started shooting in the late third and fourth quarters, then we would have probably had a problem. But luckily, Pelicans just couldn't hit anything. If Houston is hitting their shots tomorrow night, that's where I'll be worried. If they're not, they have a chance at winning without AD. Sean, you haven't spoken because Gerald took all your spots and doesn't care. And, you know, he's been gone for a while. Now he's got to show how big he is and how, you know, he's the man. So, Sean, where do we go? You know, because, you know, when you have an ego as big as Gerald Glassford's, you either adapt or you're gone. And you should know, because you folks out there in the chat room, you'll say the simplest things. And if you don't like it, yeah.
Listen, MAGA Joe. Come on, listen, MAGA Joe. You need to stop it, man. Chill out.
That's terrible.
Well, like, he's actually, you know, he surprised me actually the past couple games. The Raptors game, he stuck with the five best guys on the floor.
Yeah.
And he rode with it and they rewarded him. This game, obviously different tact. You're up 35, but for the most part, he didn't screw it up. So I think he's learning on the fly as always, but, you know, I think three out of the four of us, maybe not all of us agree, but he still has problems with game management and definitely the rotations, because tomorrow is going to be like a Jackson Pollock painting. He's just going to be throwing paint all over the canvas and just going to go with the five guys who are working the best.
That's for sure. But I agree with Tom on that one. Sean very well said, though, tomorrow, I mean, this, it can't be a slip up for the Lakers tomorrow. It just can't.
The problem is if Senjin plays center, they're going to get a lot of points inside. He's an excellent scorer down low.
Şengün.
Playmaker.
Şengün.
Right.
Alperen Şengün.
So it'll be interesting to see how we defend, because I mean, if there was a guy that we didn't need to be missing out of our top 10, it was Mo Bamba, you know, because we really need a third center. or a second center, you know, and now we're going to have to go with our third center, who's Wenyan. I thought Wenyan played wonderful tonight. I thought he made some excellent plays, and he always plays hard. So,
he can't protect at the rim for you. He
can't protect the rim. He's not.
No, the Lakers are going to have to run and gun tomorrow night.
We're probably going. You know, I'm serious that they are going to add a center. I don't know who, but they're going to add somebody in the next couple of days. It just makes perfect sense that they need
Gerald's second favorite player of all time, Joe Huff, or what's his
name? He's on Washington.
Oh, okay. I always hear Joe.
Picked him up.
Okay. Moses Brown is the other name that you've heard. Who is?
He just got waived again by the Knicks. Right. Yeah, he was given a 10-day, and he just got waived again by the Knicks. Then you've got Hassan Whiteside. You've got Serge Ibaka.
Those are guys who haven't even played. You know, that's why.
Yeah.
Man, that's kind of scary. I'd rather get a guy in
the league. The Lakers need to serve fried chicken tomorrow on the run.
Yeah. We'll see. It'd be interesting.
Well, it all depends on if Şengün is playing or not. If Şengün doesn't play, then I think Ham can experiment at the five a little bit. But if
I'd say Rui. Give more time to Rui.
That's what I was saying in the chat, yeah. Gerald. I think he could give spot minutes to Rui or Vando at the five tomorrow, just based on necessity.
Well, if Rui's going to hit that mid-range like he has the last week or so, he'd be the perfect. Yeah. He'd be the perfect center to play off of some good pick and roll with D'Lo.
That mid range and Schroeder would be a good weapon for us down the road.
I don't see the Lakers picking up any talent unless somebody gets injured, which I still don't see really anybody. They don't really need to at this point.
I've heard too many rumors that they're going to sign somebody, so I think that they're going to sign a center.
I think they'll be fine. I think they'll kind of ride this unless there's a major injury with somebody. But the Lakers take out the Pelicans 123-108 tonight.
The Wembanyama game.
the Wembanyama sweepstakes have already been set, and because it's a lottery, the tanking thing is not like the NFL. It's just whether the Rockets lose tomorrow or win likely doesn't change much. They're already the worst team in the West, and I think they're only up they're only down a couple games against the Spurs.
Joe, I'll have to respectfully disagree with you there. I think when you're talking about the lottery, a game or two can make a difference. It's huge. But
the top four teams have 14% chances at the number one pick,
and there's only a 10% chance of that. You
four teams even chances. And those four teams are obviously San Antonio and Houston and Charlotte and Detroit. And there are six games separating the next fifth worst team. So those four teams know they got what the odds are.
Yeah.
They don't care whether they win or lose. They've undermined this whole tanking thing. between the play-in tournament and letting the
– This is the longest season ever, by the way. Is it not, Tom? Is this the long? I feel like we've talked about.
It's like three seasons.
The plan.
You know what? I'd like to know. I'd like to know why you're the cat that caught the canary right now. Yeah.
Okay.
You're laughing over there.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Okay.
Good one, Blue. Good one, Blue.
I'll throw. You know how I've been throwing these movie lines, and you've been catching them, right? The one I use a lot is the when I get excited. Something great happens. I'll use the line, and I'll let you say who it is. Just because it's you figured it out early. I'll write in. I feel like a schoolboy again. And 99.9% of the world don't know what the hell I'm saying and just completely bypass it. But if you're a, go ahead tell the audience what that's from.
For what?
I'm talking to Sean.
Sean.
So, yeah, that's Lloyd Christmas.
Yeah. So when he's talking to himself before he makes his love speech to the woman of his dreams, this is why Jim Carrey is the GOAT, honestly, in terms of comedy, especially when it comes to movies. It's such a weird line. It's funny. And imagine that. 30 years later, I'm still using it. So the 10% line is from another movie great called Naked Gun.
Yes.
Can you hear me there, Gerald?
Yeah, I can hear you, especially when you said that awesome movie.
So there's a scene in there where the scientist goes, or actually, I'm sorry, the doctor says there's a 50-50% chance of, and the guy that was playing Norberg was O.J. Simpson. He's got a 50-50% chance of living, but there's only a 10% chance of that. And that line always stuck with me since I was a kid, and I'll use that every now and then. But the same as the other line from Dumb and Dumber, only a few people catch it, and it looked like Gerald caught it.
But, I did.
I digress. Anyways, let's get back to the game. So the Lakers win tonight, 123-108. AD comes back with a fury, drops 35. Looked very AD-esque. It looked very easy, 35. And that's one of the great things about AD is he always makes these 35-17 games look easy. He did get hit in the nads towards the end of the game, but looked like he – and, of course, Gerald had to put in his negativity on it, not paying attention, not realizing that men getting hit there actually have to sit there for a second and let it go, let it dissipate, and had to throw in the, oh, he's out for 4 weeks. So,
well,
the Lakers
– you know, it could have led to a groin injury. You don't know.
Maybe, but the Lakers are up a game against the Pelicans – mm-hmm. and own the tiebreaker, which means they're up two.
Well, can you give – okay, so they're 34 and 35, is that correct?
Correct.
Where do they stand? I'm not looking at the standings right now. Can you guys give me an update on where they're at?
Now they're the ninth. They're tied for the eighth, but Dallas has the tiebreaker against the Lakers at the moment. I believe they might have it after Friday if the Lakers should win it. So the Lakers right now are the ninth seed. Tied with the Mavericks at 34 and 35. The Thunder have 35 losses. They're playing tonight. We're going to see if they're going to end up winning or not. And then the Timberwolves are a game up in the loss column, and the Clippers and the Warriors are up two games in the loss column. So this thing could stay the same, or it could go up and down, however those go.
You need to do yourself a favor if you're the Lakers and win tomorrow. Because the Clippers and the Warriors are playing one another, and one of those teams is going to lose. And if you look at the standings right now, the fifth and the sixth seed both have 33 losses. So all of a sudden, if the Lakers are 35 and 35, you're only a half game out.
The Thunder won tonight, just to let you know, Joe. They're tied with the Lakers.
Do they own the tiebreaker against us?
I believe they do.
Okay, then
we play them one more time.
But currently they do. Remember, off because of the LeBron scoring game, they won that game.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if we play them one more time, we play Dallas one more time. So yes, there's a chance to go for the Lakers to start doing things better. Although
have to win tomorrow, regardless of whoever's playing.
Their division
is every game. That's the only solution.
Their division and conference records are still weak compared to other teams, but yeah, again, head to head, they can
beat them because that'll probably be the determining factor. If the head to head does even, if you don't have a tiebreaker, or if you have a three-team tie,
look, you need to make up ground tomorrow. The Timberwolves are hosting the Boston Celtics. I don't think they're going to win that game, particularly off the Houston game that Boston.
Tie for 35 and 35.
Yeah.
There'll be a three-way tie for 35 and 35. But that puts us off of the ladder of losing teams and lets us grab the top bottom rung of that ladder of winning teams, which is what you have to do to move up.
Well, at half right now, the Milwaukee Bucks lead the Phoenix Suns 57-48. And not surprisingly,
the Knicks are getting their rear ends handed to them.
Surprise.
They probably can't hit anything in the game or the game after they play us. But
so with that, we're going to go into tomorrow's game. Two of your stars are out.
Our second chance since the second game of the season, and the game we blew the other day against the Knicks. This is our third chance to be.
But we're going to need to run and gun. I hope Darvin Ham sends these guys out like stallions.
Well, you know, there was an interesting point that Nick brought up at halftime when I was on the watch party, which was he said that Ham said specifically that the reason he wants to play three guards is to run so that we can get additional possessions.
Because the sheet says he's supposed to.
He wants that's additional why. Possessions. No, I mean, that's why the Lakers have a big advantage, because we get additional possessions from running. But we have to have play good defense along with it. Now, I happen to like the three-guard possession when it's Schroeder, D'Lo, and Roy Reeves. I think that's a pretty good combination, because you got a little bit of everything there. And that combination has played a lot better than the pair of little guards that he had before, where he put Schroeder and
there should be some experimentation with that as well, Tom. I'd like to see D'Lo, Malik Beasley, and Austin Reeves all play together. I'd like to see that three-guard combination lineup.
I just want to see D'Lo or AD stay in the game at all times.
Has to happen. Well, I mean, we're not going to get that luxury tomorrow because Anthony isn't playing. So the coaching staff. Darvin Ham really needs to rely on his coaching staff tomorrow.
Well, he first off, you got 2 point guards, so you got to make sure to stagger them. You know, you can play them together at times, but one of them Dennis or D'Lo have to be on the floor at all times, one of them. And then who's going to be the second center? Probably, I would guess, Rui and probably Gabriel probably have to be staggered some too. We've got to have size out there.
Well, we're going to see Darvin Ham's rotations tomorrow, and you're going to see if there's going to be some kind of improvement in his coaching tomorrow. If he can't figure out the right lineup tomorrow, we're always going to go back to that same issue with Darvin Ham, and that he doesn't know who to play and how to play certain guys in certain scenarios.
Now, when you're missing LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that does put a little bit of a pressure on
it. Is. However, you're playing a team that is likely equal in talent without those two. So if they were playing Dallas, it's a different story. But you're playing the Houston Rockets, who are trying to tank, which that's – I don't know if that's necessarily 100% all the way through, especially after beating the Celtics a few nights ago. I'm a little concerned right now until the Lakers come out tomorrow and give me less of a concern. I have to see.
And the way they can do that is by coming out tomorrow exactly like they did today, which was a game plan that they executed to perfection starting on the first play, which was to get the ball to Anthony Davis. And that opened everything else up, because then it was wide open shots after that. That 14-0 lead and Davis hitting the first 8 points just set the tone. But that's what we need to do. We need to have that dedication that, you know, that whoever you're going to put Vanderbilt on, put him on him and don't let that guy play 1 minute without him on the court. And make sure you got your team staggered, and make sure to call your timeouts so you don't blow a big lead and somehow, some way, scratch your way to 500 tomorrow.
Last time they were 500 was 0-0. So there you go.
Last time they were 500 was when they were 24-24 last year.
Mm-hmm. No, 0-0.
Zero doesn't necessarily count.
0-0 is zero.
Everyone is 0-0.
Well, I know.
Hey, just Mr. Vegas.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
So,
take him out of Vegas and put him in Southern California and look what happens.
I'm kidding. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, so here's the stat of the night, and I think Joe will wrap us up soon. So Joe is correct. Last season, the Lakers were 24-24 after 48 games.
Told me the number.
But after that, do you know what the record was, Joe?
It was I know they won 9 games after that.
That's 9-25.
Yeah. And
we during this stretch – we're 9-4 since the trade. Let's focus on the positives here, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not so much focusing on the positive, is that we're focusing on the fact that this team has talent now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now they have talent that's been spread out. Imagine this, okay? You have three guys that you got from one guy. That one guy didn't do anything the other three are doing right now. How many boneheaded plays have we seen in the last few weeks? I'm not talking about the occasional ball into the stand stuff. That stuff happens. I'm talking about somebody going ISO on the left side and all of a sudden dribbling the ball off their foot or making a pass that made no sense to someone who wasn't even there. We don't really see that anymore. I'm telling you, that made a huge difference. The reason
that's correct. There's not a lot of dumb basketball.
And I notice I haven't said anybody's name, but you guys all know what I'm talking about. Okay,
talking about Russell.
Okay, yes, whatever Tom says. And we're at a point now where emotionally, okay, imagine us. We're the fans, right? We watch the games. We're upset, and then we go and sit on the couch and eat popcorn at the end of the night, right? Well, if you're Gerald, I don't know what Gerald does at night, but the guys that are in the locker room dealing with this, imagine what they're feeling after seeing those kind of plays. You think LeBron went home and said, God, we were so close? Nah, man. He's probably going, man, what the hell was I thinking?
So happy.
What the hell was I thinking wanting this guy on my team? So we don't have to worry about that anymore. The emotional negativity is gone. Now it's young guys playing for their next contracts who actually have particular skills that fit this particular team. So 9-4 at the last 13 games. Results, baby. We're the results business.
Lakers are currently 10th right now. So 10th.
I know, Gerald. We said that 10 minutes ago.
I know, but you said they were 9th. They're actually 10th after the OKC win.
I corrected him.
Because I didn't know that the Thunder had when you're holding the show, Gerald, you're focused.
Three-way tie.
Tom, Joe always needs correcting. You're correct. So go ahead. Correct him at any time. That's
don't
correct.
Ever interrupt me when I'm talking.
Tom is correct. Yes.
All right, guys.
You know that that's not an insult. That's
so we're gonna
demands that somebody respond.
We're gonna
respond to your eloquent points.
Eloquent, Gerald? Would you say you're eloquent in your responses? Did you forget what I was saying? Did you?
I think he's had too much to drink.
All my time. Service. I'm in a yes, hotel Richard. Room, for goodness sake.
Yes, Richard. Darvin Ham at his post-game conference, press conference, said that they are going to – he's got foot issues. They're going to rest him tomorrow.
This was a planned thing. This was something that they had already coordinated according to what they were talking about. Yeah. This is something they had already set this date, was already predetermined.
We talked about it last time. So he screwed up last time and said, everybody's going to play every back-to-back game.
No.
Including LeBron and AD. And then the
next
said, oh, sorry, that was left. Correct.
We're in a point here we haven't been at in a very long time. We're talking about and we're watching talent execute some things here. And the results are wins. Even the loss on Sunday, that's the kind of loss that at least makes sense through an 82-game season. You had a team that had a little bit more than you in that game. That happens. But when we were losing before, we were losing in a way where we shouldn't have lost. And it had a lot to do with the fact that –
we were still fighting. The thing that I still remember about all of those games this season compared to the last two seasons, was that these guys never quit. They came back and they would make that 30-point game a 10-point game almost every single time. And I think that has a lot of grit to it.
There's no denying that even those who weren't executing were playing hard. However, I'm going to quote the great Phil Jackson via Kobe Bryant. You can play with all the hard you want, but it's how smart you play. And until now, we weren't playing very smart, especially in crucial situations. So with that, we are going to end the show with Sean, Gerald, and Tom giving us their last words. Do you want to predict what's going to happen tomorrow? Do you want to continue to talk about what happened tonight? Tell us what you think, Sean. We'll start with you, and then we'll go ahead and get ready for tomorrow night and hopefully first back-to-back win, I think, in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been, I think, at least 2 weeks. So they need to do it. They need to do it here. There's no excuses.
Lakers by 20.
Houston is really bad. They are really bad.
Coast to coast.
They have a lot of talent. I love Şengün. I hope he doesn't play tomorrow. Alperen, take the day off. You don't need to play tomorrow. Just take the day off. We got to win tomorrow. Yeah, we got to win tomorrow. You get to 500. You build some momentum here. And by the way, you're resting AD on a back-to-back where he's definitely playing on Friday. See, Kyrie decided that he was going to sit out a game too earlier this week. So now it's AD's turn. I want to sweep the Texas 2 here. Let's do the Texas 2 and kick their ass. Houston tomorrow night, and we'll load up and kick some Maverick ass on Friday.
Nice. Gerald?
Obviously, must game for the Lakers to finish this up, because it's going to take all the taste out of our mouths if they come up and pull a turkey tomorrow, even without AD. No excuses. They got to go ahead. They're playing for their playoff lives. Houston's playing for the lottery. Absolutely no excuses for no win tomorrow. I do want to mention before I give it over to Tom that you've got to go ahead. If you want to go ahead and join us for the ESPN March Madness bracket, please go ahead and join us. Lakers Fast Break podcast, Lakers Fast Break podcast group is now out live. Go ahead, make your brackets. Join us at ESPN March Madness Challenge. Tom is just UCLA chalk. We all know that. But, hey, if you've got someone in mind, go ahead, fill out your brackets, join our group. It's a lot of fun. A lot of people, you know, Henry, Sean, L. Rob, I know Stone Hansen, who's doing, don't forget the Upside Swings podcast. They're doing a live playback.tv for college, the tournament. So go ahead and watch them too as well. But yeah, we've got a great ESPN group already. So please go ahead and join that. And last but not least, before I give it over to Tom, isn't there a Wings Challenge coming up in the not-too-distant future, finally? It's been delayed several times. It's like a video game.
Oh, thought you weren't going to say anything. So, folks,
the
reason why there was a delay is I wanted some production value, and I did get off the phone. I did get off the phone with the general manager of the Buffalo Wild Wings in Temecula, and he has okayed me shooting the show. Or shooting the competition tomorrow.
We're getting shot
between 11 and 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So stay tuned. I will try and until I get there, I'll know if it's going to be live or if we're going to be having to preempt it at another time. But one way or the other, this thing is going to happen tomorrow. And I will keep you guys, so pay attention to all your social media guys. I'll be sending out some alerts before the show starts. And then you guys are going to be able to definitely poke fun at the fact that I'm going to be in pain, because this stuff is
Joe, hot. If I can go on live here on this crappy hotel Wi-Fi, you can do it from wherever you're going.
Well, I hope so. I really do. And I think we're going to definitely try to make it happen. And hopefully the show is good for all you guys. And I'm sort of looking forward to it, but I'm hoping that the body allows me to recover afterwards.
You're still young enough to do it.
I appreciate
many more
it.
Times, you know.
Yeah, well, my body, I've been fortunate enough to have a good digestive system.
Your shtick going forward, Joe.
What was that?
It should be part of your shtick going forward, you know.
Sure, sure.
I invite our listeners to challenge Joe on even more powerful, more hot. Even hotter things.
And that stuff is not healthy.
How good you can be.
I don't want to rip my esophagus.
You could make a professional career out of this, you know?
There's plenty of guys that do it. The thing is,
you've got nausea, heartburn, upset stomach, diarrhea. Make sure you have about a gallon of that, Joe.
Yeah, make sure you have a lot of milkshake afterward.
Okay, so let me finish it up. Tomorrow, the Lakers are going to go coast to coast, win by 20, and we're going to have an enjoyable entire time because there will be no pressure for two straight games in a row because they'll both be blowouts.
That, wait, folks, is tonight's show. In a nutshell, how can we not end the show with Laker Tom's positive Lakers are going to win segment? So we have finished the show. Again, the Lakers win tonight, beat the New Orleans Pelicans 123-108. AD will not be playing tomorrow night, but we're still confident that the Lakers can come away with the win. For the Magic Man, Laker Tom, and Magic Kingdom dude, Gerald Glassford. Thank you for watching.
I'll be Universal Studios, Gerald.
That's my favorite spot, by the way. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening, everyone. Enjoy the evening. Enjoy the night. Be safe, and we'll see you tomorrow. And I'll see if I can get you guys in on the competition early in the morning. So, guys, keep your phones on you because I'll be sending out the alert. Again, thank you for joining us. This is the Lakers Fast Break. Have a good night.
Good job, Joe.
Oh, here's the finger, by the way.
Thank you.
Go Lakers. Go Lakers.
Go Lakers.